Good morning. AFCO's back in session. I'm excited about Thursdays again. Thursdays were kind of boring there for a little while, but now we're back. And the first AFCO student that I have to bring to you this week, and of course we'll continue for over the next 15 weeks or so, is Brittany Sherwin, and she is coming to us from the tropical paradise of Michigan. So we're glad to have her here this morning. Brittany.
Yeah, it feels like spring here. I didn't realize it was still winter. Let's pray before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have given us. Thank you so much for your love for us. And Father, now as I share the testimony that you have given to me, I just pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I speak your words and not my own, and so that people remember the story of how you've worked in my life and not remember me, that they may remember you, Father. I just want to bring glory and honor to your name. In your name I pray. Amen. Munang mariklam du dimu. Good morning to you. That's the greeting that I would use if I was speaking to all of my friends in the Philippines who I was with last year. But before I get to that part of my testimony, I just want to share how I ended up in the Philippines. 2 years ago, I was in my sophomore year at Andrews University, and I was just feeling like God was calling me to look into being a student missionary. And I had all these ideas going through my mind about the places that I would love to go and the places that I felt like I was equipped to go. And I was thinking, oh, I love kids. I would love to go to an orphanage. I've been learning Spanish for 2 years. I should go to like Honduras or, you know, somewhere in South America. I think that's where I should go. And so I was praying about it, but that was where I thought that God wanted me to go, because that was my desire. And so I was just like, God, you want to give us our desires, so send me to South America. And so I was looking into orphanages over there, and every time I was just praying about it and putting in applications, and God just kept closing all the doors. I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm not supposed to go to South America, since, you know, God wants to stretch us and put us out of our comfort zone. Maybe I'm supposed to go to India. I had gone on a short trip to India a couple years before that, and I just saw all the need there, and I was like, maybe God wants me to go there, you know? So I was praying about India, and I knew some people who were working over there as missionaries, and I started contacting them, and I felt, maybe God's leading me there. And then, no, God closed all of those doors. I was like, okay, God, where am I supposed to go? Maybe Tanzania. I know there's an orphanage there. So I looked into Tanzania, and this was all near the beginning of the semester, so in the fall. And I was just looking and praying, and just every place that I tried to go, God just kept closing the doors. And I was like, what's wrong? I'm supposed to be a student missionary, and you're supposed to give me the desires of my heart, God. What's going on? And then I was just praying, and I just felt like God was calling me, are you really willing to go anywhere that I want you to go? And I was like, oh, I guess I'm not. And so then I was reading Isaiah, and just Isaiah 6, verse 8, where Isaiah is just hearing God's call, and he says, here I am, send me. And so I was just praying, okay, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Here I am, send me. And when I surrendered that to him, within a month, I felt like God was calling me to look into Adventist Frontier Missions. And within a month, all of my paperwork was completed. Finals week, I found out I was accepted to go to the Philippines, and all the money like came in within a month as well, and it's like $4,500. So it was just all God, just opening up all the doors, and he couldn't show me that until I was completely surrendered to him and saying, okay, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. And so a couple months later, I found myself on a plane going to the Philippines, to a little remote island called Palawan, which is, first you fly into Manila, and then you stay there overnight, and then you fly the next day to a little island, the little island of Palawan, which is really close to Malaysia. And then once you get there, you have like a 6-hour bus ride to the base town, and then you have a 3.5-hour hike up into the mountains, and it's a really remote village, no electricity, no running water, nothing like that. And when I first thought about being a student missionary, I had heard about my brother's experience, and he had been in Peru with a large group of student missionaries, and I thought, oh, you know, that was really nice. He got all the support of other student missionaries going through the same thing as him. They could pray with each other, and it was just such a blessing for him. I was like, God, send me somewhere where there's, like, a lot of other student missionaries. I would love that. And then God was like, nope, you're going to go to a village all by yourself. And I was like, what? And so I went to this village, and I was the only student missionary there, but I was working with a Filipino family. And so I was teaching their two daughters, fourth and fifth grade, teaching them English and all their subjects, and then doing friendship evangelism in the afternoons, just meeting the people. And I lived in the village with the people in a bamboo grass hut, so I was just like all of them. And I could, you know, they would all come over to my house, I'd go over to their house, and just have that opportunity to share with them on a daily basis. And it was such a blessing. And when I would go and visit the main missionary village where all the other student missionaries were and where the large group, the clinics and the schools and everything were, I didn't want to be there anymore. I was like, God, thank you so much for taking me to a village all by myself, because it just helped me to learn to depend upon Him fully for everything instead of depending on other people. And it also did fill the desires of my heart, like God says in Isaiah or in Psalm 37:5, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And that's what God did for me. He gave me a Filipino family that became my second family. Their daughters that I were teaching became like my little sisters. And then He just bonded me really closely with the people. I was able to learn their language a lot faster and just be able to share with them Bible stories. And before, I'd wanted to go to an orphanage because I love kids. Well, every morning at 5:45, the little kids from the village would come running down to my house. Mungbara club, Mom! Good morning, teacher! And all of them would come to my porch, and they were begging me for food. But then when I realized that that's what they weren't really craving, they were really craving just love and learning about God. So I would just hold them on my lap, and eventually once I learned the language, I could sing songs about God with them. And I had little tiny Bible story books that I would just show them pictures, and they wanted the same story every day. David and Goliath, or Jonah and the whale. And they were just so excited, and it was so refreshing just having people so excited about the Bible and wanting to hear the same stories over and over again. And it just made the Bible come alive for me. It was such a blessing. And so even though I didn't go to an orphanage, it was like an orphanage on my porch every morning. And some of the little kids from my village were almost like orphans, because a lot of times their mother had passed away giving birth to like the sixth child, and their dad was working in the fields, so they learned to fend for themselves. They would cook a little, they'd make their own fire, 3- and 4-year-olds making their own little fire and cooking bananas and roots, and it was just sad to see, but it was an amazing blessing to be able to reach out to them and show them God's love. One story that I want to share from over there in the Philippines is about my friend. Her name is Mukong. And I had been growing close to her. She had four kids, but she was about my age, which is like 22. Maybe she was a little bit older, but they get married really young. They're about 12 years old is typical for the females. And so most of my close friends had, you know, three or four kids and, you know, had been married for several years. And anyway, one day, one of the girls came running to my house. Teacher, Mukong's in the middle of the village. She's leaving. I was like, oh, where's she going? Is she going to go visit, you know, another village? Is she going to market day? And they're like, no, she's leaving for, like, good. I was like, what? So I went running to the middle of the village, and there was Mukong. She had, they carry, like, their babies in this little piece of cloth, kind of like a bag, and they also use it for showering in a blanket. They carry lots of things in it. So she had this piece of material that was like her bag with all of her earthly possessions, which was like one pair of clothes. And then she had her baby on another one of those, it's called a batik, but it's like a piece of material that works as a bag. And so she had her baby in one arm and then her clothes hanging from her head, and she was ready to leave. And I was just like, where are you going? What's going on? And she told me how her husband, he's an alcoholic, and he'd just been drinking and drinking, and she was just fed up with it, and he wasn't providing for the family. She was having to do all the work, and she was just ready to leave. She was just sick of it. And she'd had a fight with him, and he was gone. She didn't know where he was, and she was leaving. And I was just talking with her, and praying, God, what do I say to her? I've never had a husband, you know, I've never had, you know, someone that's a drinker that, you know, I don't know what to say. God, help me know what to say. And I was just praying the whole time, and she just had this deep sadness in her face and this anger, and she was set on going, even though she had an 8, a 6, and 4-year-old that she was going to leave behind and just take her baby with her. And I was like, well, what about the kids? What if something happens to them? What if one of them gets sick? One of them gets hurt, gets malaria? Like, what's going to happen to them? And she's like, oh, they'll be fine. My little brother, who was 12 at the time, he can take care of them. I was like, really? And then I was like, well, what about your husband? He's not here right now. Don't you want to talk to him before you leave? And I don't want to talk to him. I'm just leaving. And so I was just praying, and finally she didn't want to look me in the eyes because we were really close and she was really sad about leaving. And I was just like, well, what about, are you going to be back in like a week or a month, or when are you going to be back? Oh, I don't know. Maybe I won't come back ever. And I was like, well, where are you going to go? She's like, oh, well, I'll go live with my grandma or something. I was like, oh, okay. And just all the objections that I kept bringing up, they weren't anything to her. She was just ready to leave. And finally, I was just like, can I pray with you? And she kind of looked off to a distance and didn't really want to look me in the eyes. And I'd prayed with her several times before, but she was like, okay, you can pray with me. So I prayed with her, and I wanted to say, God, help her not to go. And God, like, keep Mukong here and help change her heart and bring her husband back and all these things. But I just felt like God was calling me, no, just show her my love. Just pray for her that, you know, God will keep her safe. God will keep her kids safe, and that God will bring healing to her marriage. And so I just was praying. And then when we were finished praying, she looked up and she was like, okay, well, I think I'm going to take my little boys up to my sister-in-law. She can take care of them instead of my little brother or whatever. And so I went with her and just, like, waited with her. And that was Friday. Friday night at Vespers, she hadn't left. Sabbath, she hadn't left. She didn't come to church, but she was still there in the village. Her husband came back on Sabbath, and she stayed. And all the next week, I was just praying, and she hadn't left. And I was just praising God every time I saw her. She's still here. She didn't leave. And then about a week later, she came up to me and she said, you know what happened last night? I was like, no, what happened? Tell me. And she said, well, I was at home and my husband was drinking again, and I was so angry with him. And he got so drunk that he just wasn't conscious anymore. He was pretty much intoxicated, like alcohol poisoning is what it sounded like to me. And he just, there was no life in him. And for somehow she just shook him or something. And I don't know, I don't remember what happened to bring him awake again, but somehow she got him awake. And she's like, if I hadn't have been here, you know, he would have died. I was like, aren't you so thankful that you stayed, that you didn't leave? Because we could be burying your husband right now. She's like, yeah, we could be burying my husband right now. And then later on in the year, it was just amazing to see the change in her heart, because she came up to me one day and she's like, I was fighting with my husband again. He's drinking. He just won't give it up. But then I told him, I turned to him and I said, you know, even if you keep drinking, I'm going to keep praying for you and I'm going to keep forgiving you. And it was just amazing to see how God changed her heart from wanting to leave because she was just fed up with it to forgiving her husband and still praying for him, even though he wasn't, you know, changing. And so I just keep praying for her and hoping that someday her husband will see the love of Jesus in her and want to come to him. Well, when I was in Palawan, about Christmas time, I had to decide if I was going to stay a second year. And every time I went out in the village, I was like, God, I love the people. I love this place. I'll stay here as long as you want. And I'll stay a second year. And whenever I was in the village, all my friends were like, you're staying again another year, right? You're going to stay with us. I was like, well, I don't know, whatever God wants. And just praying about it. And every time I was reading my Bible, it was like God was speaking to me. I want you to go home. And I was like, why? I know that I'm learning the language well enough. I can do so much more for you now. And so one day I was reading my Bible and I'm reading about the demon-possessed man and how after God healed him, how Jesus healed him and cast the demons into the pigs, then he was like, Jesus, I want to follow you wherever you go. And he said, no, go home and tell your family and friends everything that I've done for you. And that verse just jumped out to me, and God was saying, go home and tell your family and friends everything God has done for you. And I was like, okay, I'll go home. So I went back to Andrews in June, and I was still wondering what my purpose was, because life just seemed so full of purpose when I was in the Philippines, just every day, you know, reaching out to people that don't know God and just loving them and praying for them. And back in school, it's so self-focused, it seemed. And I was just like, God, what is my purpose here? And every time that he gave me an opportunity to share, then, you know, I would share. And so I got called to go to different churches and different youth groups and stuff. And I was sharing my experience over there. And it was a blessing. But I was just like, God, I want to be over there. I want to continue doing this. And my heart was still in Palawan. So I was at Andrews for a semester, and it was pretty difficult. But then at the getting ready to be the beginning of this next semester, spring semester, it was the Thursday before classes were going to start. And I just wasn't feeling at peace with my major. I wasn't feeling at peace about being at Andrews again. And I was just like, God, I'm all registered. All of my, you know, tuition is paid for. I'm ready to start the new semester, but I just don't feel like this is where you want me. Where do you want me? And so I was just praying and pouring out my heart to God, and just this impression, Bible school, look into Bible school. And I'd had that thought when I was in the Philippines, you know, if you're going to do long-term missions, I would love to know more about prophecy and just the Bible so I can do Bible studies. And so it was a thought that had been in the back of my head in the Philippines. And then when God brought it up again, I was like, okay, I'll look into Bible school. So I was looking online at all the Bible schools, and, you know, all the deadlines were already passed because it's 2 weeks before they start or whatever. And I was like, God, maybe next semester. Are you just trying to prepare my heart to go next semester, or, you know, what's your plan? Just praying about it. And the whole time I was reading about Abraham and how God was calling him to leave his country and his home and his family and go to the place where he would call him. And everywhere that Abraham went, he would build an altar. Sometimes he would build an altar because God had shown himself to him and shown, this is where I want you to go. And so he was praising God. And sometimes he was building an altar, calling on the name of the Lord, just show me, where do you want me to go next? And so I just felt like I was Abraham, like praying, God, where do you want me to go next? And just placing my life on the altar. And so that Thursday night when God was impressing me earlier that day, I thought, well, maybe next semester since the deadlines are passed and everything. But Thursday night I got an email from one of my friends I was in missionary training with AFM. And he shared how God had led him to go to Bogenhofen in Austria and start studying to be a pastor, and how he had gotten him in there in like 3 days. And it was like God was speaking to me through that email, Brittany, if I can do that for Raphael, I can do that for you. I was like, okay, God, I'll trust you. I'll surrender. And so I tried to call AFCO on Friday, but, you know, AFCO is not open on Friday. So then I called on Monday. And I started classes because I didn't know what God was going to do. So I started classes Monday, and then Monday afternoon I called, and Denise, the registrar, was like, oh, yeah, we're still taking applications if you can get it in as soon as possible. I was like, okay. So then I had to get my four references, and within 24 hours, all of my references were in, my application was in. And my parents had shared with me, because I was worried about the money, because at Andrews I had it all paid for and had scholarships and things, but AFCO, you know, is out of pocket. So it's like, God, I don't know about the money. And when I shared with my parents how I was feeling God was impressing me to look into it, they're like, you know, your grandma left an inheritance when she died 2 years ago, and she would love for you to go to a place like this. She was actually, she came into the church from someone knocking on her door and selling her books, and she would love for you to go to some place like this if she was still alive. So the money's there. I was like, okay. So then so Tuesday went to classes, Wednesday went to classes, Wednesday evening I called Denise and made sure she'd received all my references, and she said, oh, you know, we're just getting ready to send you the acceptance letter. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, we want you to come this semester. I was like, okay. So Wednesday night I dropped all my classes, and Thursday went and told all my teachers what was going on, and they were all really supportive and encouraging. And so that was just 6 days since God impressed me to look into Bible school, and 3 days since I was able to get in touch with them. And I was just like, okay, God, this is where you want me to be, because I didn't do any of that. That was all you. And it was just amazing to see God work in such a clear way. And it just reminds me of a Bible verse that's been dear to me a lot of my life, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And I think that each day God is calling to each of us, will you trust me? Will you surrender your plans for this day into my hands? Will you lay aside your will, your desires? Because if you do, I have something even better to show you. I have something even more amazing for you than you even can imagine. And if you'll just put your life in my hands, then I can lead you, I can show you where I want you to be. And so I just encourage you today, and I just want to ask you, are you willing to surrender all? Because when you do, you have so much peace and joy in life, and God can just reveal to you his amazing plans. And I just want to end with this prayer from David Livingstone. It says, Lord, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me, and sever every tie but the tie that binds me to thy service and thy heart. That's my prayer this morning. I hope it's your prayer as well. Okay, should I pray? Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the amazing ways that you work in our lives, and even when we're stubborn at first, that you just keep working on our hearts, and that you just keep calling upon us to surrender all to you, because not because you want us to give up our joy, but because you want us to give us a greater joy, and that you just have so many amazing plans for our lives if we would just give our lives into your hands. And so, Father, I just pray that you would help us each day to choose you, and each day to lay our lives in your hands so that you can reveal to us your amazing plans. We love you and thank you, and we pray. Amen.